Hi, this is Patricia Sarah. My husband Mauricio is also here.
We're
with Investor Options Incorporated. Hello? Hello? Anybody there?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay.
There's at least two of us. My name is Charissa Bazaar from North Carolina.
Hi. We're from Bakersfield, California.
Okay. Do you know if we're supposed to be on a particular site?
Well, what?
Do you know if we're supposed to be on a particular site on the computer or not?
No, this is just a teleseminar.
Okay.
Davidson. Christian Davidson.
Brian Rendell. Talking and you're not going to be able to talk back to me, and I'll just be going over the material and going over the presentation, and then at the end of the presentation I'll kick it back over to question and answer mode, and then you guys will be able to answer me, ask me questions depending on what questions you have. So I'm going to go ahead and start the call right now, and before I start, is there anything last minute anyone has before I start? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start here. Okay, hi, this is the OTC over-the-counter teleseminar. My name is Brian Rendell. I want to thank you for attending the teleseminar. The purpose of this teleseminar is to teach you how to find, research, and utilize over-the-counter lists to purchase liens and deeds through the mail and online. And how will the teleseminar be conducted? It's scheduled for roughly 2 hours. I'll spend about 1 hour talking and then about 1 hour for questions. When I'm talking right now, I'm doing a presentation, you won't be able to respond. You'll just hear me talking. But then at the end of the seminar presentation, I will open it up for questions. Also, if you have other questions that you think of later, or maybe you're more of an email person, you can email your questions to otc@rogueinvestor.com, otc@rogueinvestor.com, and we will try to answer those questions via email over the next few days. The material that you should already have, you should have a CD with the over-the-counter lists, a hardcover book containing the guide to investing in tax liens and tax deeds through the mail and online. You will not need access to this information while the seminar. So I recommend you sit back and listen and enjoy the seminar, and I think you'll retain more. I always found when I listen, especially on the phone, if I just listen and not take notes, usually I retain a little bit more. I mean, it's up to you, whatever you want to do, but I'm going to try to go through things slowly and clearly, and then also you can ask questions at the end. So, if you sit back and listen, that might be enough. And if you don't have the materials I just indicated, the CD with the over-the-counter list and the hardcover book, please send us an email or call our office in the morning, and we'll be happy to send it to you, because If you're on this call, you should have those materials. And again, the email you sent to us, otc@rogueinvestor.com, and our phone number is 913-381-4520. Again, it's 913-381-4520. Okay, let's start it out. What are over-the-counter lists? Well, these are lists of properties that were not sold at a sale, or lists of properties that also include properties where people defaulted when they bid at the auction but they didn't go through with their purchase. They can be properties that the county has already and they maybe had for a while. Basically, these are either liens or deeds that have either made it through a sale and were not purchased, or they are on the list because they were purchased at a sale, but the person did not pay for the lien or the deed in the time allotted. So generally, these lists include everything. They include bad properties, and they include a few good properties, but they're a little bit different than the typical lien list when you go to a sale, because obviously if they've made it through a sale, then there's going to be less good properties than there would have before the sale occurred. So you always have to remember when you're looking over the counter lists, there's going to be some gems in there, but there are going to be some properties that you do not want to buy, and they made it all this way because they're worthless, basically, or they have a problem. And so this is an arena where you need to do your research, and you need to be meticulous about it and not get in a hurry. And there's no need to, because there's plenty of properties on these lists, so you want to make sure that when you do over-the-counter investing, that you really do your due diligence so you don't end up buying something that you can't sell. Okay, so why are properties on these over-the-counter lists? Well, there's a lot of reasons. One reason is there's not enough investors in an auction. That may seem hard to believe in a place like California, but I've seen many sales, even sales this year, in past years, and I'm sure it'll continue, where there just simply wasn't enough investors at the sale to buy all the liens. And that's because in a lot of states, there's basically roadblocks to you coming to the sale. You may have to pre-register. You may have to pay a fee. In Missouri, you have to get a signed affidavit that says that you're being represented by somebody in the county. There's lots of sales that occur at the same time on the same day. You know, Iowa has all their sales on the same time on the same day. Texas has most of their sales on the first Tuesday of the month. So sometimes sales don't have enough investors to buy all the property. So if they're not all bought, then it goes to the over-counter list. Another one's not enough money. I've seen many sales where there was a lot of investors, but we all ran out of money before the sale was over. And that can be happen too. If there's a few properties that are very valuable and they get bid up a fair amount and there's a lot of properties in the sale, then that can cause the amount of money left at the end of the sale to be limited. And then the stuff makes it to the over-the-counter list, even though maybe it's still decent. Another reason is the properties are not desirable. They're not really valuable. They're not something you want to own. So you got to remember that. There is properties on these lists every time. There's a number of properties that are probably not worth buying. They're a narrow strip of land. They have access problems. There's, you know, covered with easements, you know, various things. So you have to make sure that you know what you're buying. So there is definitely a reason for them to be on the list, on over-the-counter list, that they're not valuable. Yes, they will get on those lists because of that. Another one is that the property owner owes more taxes than the property's worth. And this is not that uncommon. You know, somebody has had a property that's been in tax delinquency for a while. The taxes build up on it, and it's not worth that much anyway. These are the kind of properties you have to be careful with. They could be worth more than they are perceived to be. Just because the amount of taxes owed is greater than what the county assesses it at doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad deal, because the county may have a low assessment. But it is something you should watch. I mean, it's more difficult to make money on a property where the assessed value from the county is a lot less than the amount of taxes owed in most cases. But occasionally there are properties that meet this criteria that are still good. So you don't throw everything out that you find that has this problem with the more taxes owed than what the county says is worth, but you need to scrutinize this. Another one is the property is not worth anything. That's absolutely possible. I mean, some of these properties are a liability if they have environmental contamination on them. You just want to make sure that the property has value. You can build on it, or it's beautiful and big enough to build on, or if it's a building, the cost of renovating it doesn't exceed the value of the building. I mean, those kind of things. Another one is that there may be a partial interest in the property. So Sometimes properties, one owner pays the taxes and the other owner doesn't. There's two or three owners on the title. This problem can be okay, but usually you got to be careful because if you only have a partial interest in the property, it's hard to force a sale. It's hard to control the property. So you got to be careful with partial interest properties. You never know. And if you're going to go after that kind of a market, make sure that you know what you're getting into. And hopefully your interest is greater than the percentage of interest the other people have. If it's not, then you have a limited ability to force things to happen on the property. Another one is an investor reneged on the purchase of the property. Somebody goes to a sale, and this happens all the time. They bid on a bunch of liens and deeds. At the end of the sale, they realize they spent more money than they had. And so what they do is they just renege on what they did. And a lot of times, if they spend more money than they had, they renege on everything because they're afraid to go back to the county and say, well, on these six properties, I have the money, but on these three, I don't. Because if you read the language in the county's typical sales rules, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble if they can't come up with every single dime they bid on. So quite a few properties make it to these lists because the investors reneged on their bid. And the last one's bankruptcy. A lot of times a bankruptcy will cause a dark cloud to form over a property, and then nobody wants it. Bankruptcy is a risky business. I don't recommend, unless you're really experienced, to go after properties that are in bankruptcy, but there are opportunities in that market, but it's a high-risk market. So that's kind of an overview of why they're on the list. Now what I want to do is I want to go through some of the states that I think have the best over-the-counter sales, and I'm going to start with the best lien states, and then I'm going to go to the best deed states. And that doesn't mean these are the only states you should invest in. It just means that on average, these states have favorable rules for OTCs. They also have bigger, usually, lists of properties available. And in a lot of cases, they're undiscovered. So that's kind of the ones we're going to focus on. But I will read the list of the states that do have over-the-counter lists. And there's about 28 that have them in various capacities, and they include Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Iowa, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Jersey, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota. I'll have a caveat to that. South Dakota is not going to have tax sales going forward, so that's probably not a good state anymore. Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. So those are all the states that have them, but out of the 28, we think there's maybe 10 states that are pretty good, 5 lien states, 5 deed states, and then there's a few that are kind of in the middle. And then there are some that we probably recommend, and it's probably a waste of your time. So let me go over the main states that I think for the lien side of investing that you should consider. The first one, and I'm going to do these in alphabetical order, is Alabama. Alabama is good because it's undiscovered. It also pays an interest rate of 12%, and it has a 3-year redemption period from the date of the sale. And if the property is delinquent for more than 3 years, then they become deeds. So that's another nice thing about Alabama, is that the liens basically morph into deeds after a certain period of time. So when you're looking at over-the-counter lists for Alabama, there are liens on there that you can buy, and there are deeds on there you can buy, because any lien that's more than 3 years old is really a deed. So the nice thing about Alabama is the state itself has a site where once a year they basically make a big effort to gather all of the data from all the sales from all the counties, and then they create what's kind of a super OTC list. And this super OTC list for Alabama is all the properties for all the counties combined that are still available over the counter. And you can get the list for free, and it's easy to get, and basically what you need to do is just go to www.revenue.alabama, and on that list, they update it around this time of the year, around October. On that list will be a list of all of the liens and deeds in Alabama that are available over the counter. And again, let me read that again. It's www.revenue.alabama, and then underneath there, it's going to be a separate HTML file, and I'll send you the link for that, but that's the general link where it's at. And so you can download that list, and you can screen the list. And Alabama's a good state because it's undiscovered. It has a decent interest rate. The liens converted into deeds. So we like Alabama. It's a good over-the-counter state. Arizona. Arizona is right now is average because it's been a long time now since when they had their sales, and the best time to get an over-the-counter list is right after the sales have occurred in a county, or right after, if it's a statewide sale, right after the sales have occurred in the state. So Alabama's good right now because they just finished updating that list and they just had their sales over the summer. Arizona had their sales last February, so this list is picked over now, but it'll be really good again in March. And these in Arizona, they also call their tax lien certificates of purchase. And basically, Arizona has probably several hundred thousand liens every year that are sold at the annual tax sales in the state. Some of those, people default on the purchases, and some of them, some of the liens are not purchased in some of the counties. And so there are over-the-counter liens, and the best time to get those is in March after all the sales that are occurring in Arizona through the month of February. The interest rate, since you're not bidding it down, is 16%, and then Arizona has a redemption period of 3 years. So if you buy a lien that's 2 to 3 years old, then you'll be able to foreclose fairly quickly on it. So in Arizona, you basically just obtain a bidder's number, and then as if you're going to register with the annual sale. And then in most cases, either the county has the information available on their website, or you can call the county and get it, and we have that information in the book. But Arizona's good, but it will not be good right now. It's best right after February, so March, April time frame. Okay, Colorado. Colorado is decent also, and Colorado now about this time is getting good because they're having their sales right now, and in about a month from now, Colorado's going to have some pretty good over-the-counter lists. And these are called county-held liens. And since Colorado offers 9% plus the federal discount rate, then the interest rate right now is like 14-15%, which is good. And so this is a good time to look for Colorado because their sales are occurring now, and then whatever isn't sold in the sale or whatever is reneged on in the sale and not bought, those will go on the over-the-counter list. The redemption period for Colorado is 3 years, and it's basically a lien state. And if the lien's more than 3 years old, then you can apply for a deed, you know, sooner than, you know, a lien a year old, you'll have to wait 2 more years before you can apply for a deed. And if they redeem it before the redemption period, then you get your 14 to 15% interest, and if they don't, you can foreclose. Okay, Florida, that's another good tax lien over-the-counter state. It's very similar, though, to Arizona. The best time to bid on Florida tax lien certificates over-the-counter is right after the sales are completed in May and June. So we're kind of far out now. It would be better to wait till next year around July, and then that would be a good time to bid on Florida over-the-counter tax liens. And essentially, the counties are pretty up to speed on this process over-the-counter, and you just call them up and ask them for the list, and then some counties have it online, and a lot of them are starting to have it online. And so it's pretty easy to find. We have information in the book and some information on our website about getting Florida lists. And so in Florida, what happens is tax lien certificates last 7 years, and there's a two-year redemption period. So liens can be more than 2 years old in Florida, but that means they're really not liens anymore. That means that you're going to basically buy them to petition to take them to the deed sale, because in Florida they have a separate deed sale. So there's really two ways to play the Florida tax lien over-the-counter market. Either go after liens that are not very old and hold them for interest on the best properties, or go after liens that are older that you think you can petition to take to the deed sale. So that's kind of the way Florida operates. And if you take it to the deed sale and you don't win the bid, then you get all your fees and interest paid back to you by whoever wins the bid. So Florida's not a bad state for over-the-counter. The issue is try to go to counties that are not quite as populated. For example, we like a county like Citrus County or Dixie County, counties on the panhandle side of Florida between, for instance, Tampa and Tallahassee. You know, try to go for the areas where the population's not quite as densely populated as like an area like Miami or Fort Lauderdale. Also, I believe this year, if you wait till this July, basically next July 2007, I think the over-the-counter will be very good because Florida is going through kind of a rocky real estate period, and that usually means a lot more properties and make it to the over-the-counter list. Okay, Nebraska. Nebraska is kind of a sleeper. Nebraska has all of its sales on the same time and the same day, so sometimes in some of the outlying counties there's not enough bidders. And so some of the OTC lists in Nebraska, if you look at them in April and May of the year, are pretty good. Nebraska pays 14%. It's a fairly easy state in terms of the requirements. So Nebraska's okay. It's probably the lowest of the four, five I already talked about, but it's worth looking into if you're a single investor and you have limited funds and you just want to buy a few liens over the counter. Okay, so that's my over-the-counter states that I like a lot. Now let's talk about my top five over-the-counter deed states. Okay, Arkansas. Arkansas, we still like Arkansas a lot. Arkansas is turning. The real estate market there now is starting to take off, but there's still some decent properties on some of their over-the-counter lists. And because Arkansas has some pretty rural areas, there's frequently situations where the properties are not all purchased at the sale, or people renege on the properties they purchased. And Arkansas has a wonderful website. The Commissioner of Lands, Commissioner of State Lands, you go to their site, and basically they have all the negotiated sales properties online for every county. And you can look through those lists, and those are all deeds. Make sure that you research those properties, because there are some stuff in Arkansas that's not any good. But, you know, there's a lot of lots in there that if they're big enough to build on and they're in a decent area and there's a road to them, they have value. So Arkansas is a state that we like, and we typically invest in their over-the-counter deeds. Mississippi, also very good and very undiscovered. The Mississippi doesn't even have deed sales. They have one lien sale year on the same day at the same time, and then the properties that are not purchased at the lien sale or liens that are not foreclosed on go to the sold estate properties, and you get them through the chancery clerk. And that's all. And so basically all deeds in Mississippi are over the counter. So that means there's a lot of deeds in a lot of the counties. And so Mississippi has a lot of over-the-counter deeds. You've got to do your research, but there are some good values in there. Some counties will have, you know, virtually, you know, 40 or 50 pages of properties available over the counter. So Mississippi is a good state, and there's several websites you can visit. There's a website, www.sos.state.ms.us, and this is in your materials, so don't worry about it. But and I'm going to give you a website address. It's a lot easier to remember. But basically, you go to this site. Another thing is that the state tax-free property is, they say it offers 50% of the current market value, but a lot of times the market value that they use is very low, and so you're still getting a great deal in a lot of cases. So another thing about Mississippi is there are some restrictions on non-residents. For instance, non-residents cannot purchase more than 320 acres or 5 acres for residential purchases. And so, you know, be aware of that. But that, you know, that still means that even non-residents can buy a fair amount of stuff in these sales without breaking these rules. Okay, Texas. Texas is probably the best over-the-counter deed state. And the reason's many. They have lots of properties in the sales that are not purchased because there's so many people in Texas and usually not enough bidders. Another reason is because Texas is very aggressive at collecting property taxes, and if you don't pay your taxes, they take your deed, basically. And so they're very aggressive, and that means more properties end up in the sale. Another thing is law firms handle the sales, and not a lot of the over-the-counter stuff's online. So the fact it's harder to get the information makes the actual over-the-counter list more lucrative. There are some pretty good websites for getting some of the over-the-counter properties because some law firms handle multiple counties. So, for example, a website, www.pbfcm.com, which stands for Publicans, that's a good website. Another law firm, publicans.com, and this information's in your book. But essentially, if you get on these sites, there are multiple over-the-counter lists, and you can check out the properties. But Texas is a good over-the-counter state. And generally, we like to buy, once again, in areas that are fairly populated but not the most densely populated, like one county away from Harris County in Houston, or one county away from some of the other counties, the larger counties. And we like the area between Austin and Corpus Christi. That whole corridor is a really good growth area. Okay, West Virginia. West Virginia has some over-the-counter lists, and the sales are occurring right now, so pretty soon the list will be good. Interest rate is 12%, and West Virginia is a fairly easy state to deal with. They have basically no bid or did not follow through, and you use that search for the over-the-counter properties, and then they'll have most of their information online. So West Virginia, it's okay. I mean, the problem with West Virginia is there isn't that many properties available, but the system is good for over-the-counter. So in some cases, there are some deals in West Virginia. Be careful of coal mines, though, in West Virginia. There's a lot of environmental issues in some areas of West Virginia, so don't buy a property like that. Okay, Wisconsin. Milwaukee County is a decent place for over-the-counter, and they handle the suburbs and any tax foreclosed properties are put on a list, and then they're sold at fair market value, but that's usually a lot lower than what they're really worth. So that's another good place. And I've got on the website, and I'm going to send you this information of where you can go to get information on the City of Milwaukee over-the-counter properties. Okay, so how do you find these lists? I went over some of the states, but where do you find these lists? Well, Rogue Real Estate Investor Collection, we have the lists. NACO.org is a good place to visit to find information on counties, NACO.org. And then the other way to do it is to call the counties. And we have the phone numbers in the Rogue Real Estate Investor Collection, but, you know, calling the counties is sometimes the only way to get the list. Okay, when's the best time to find the list? I already went over that. Immediately after the annual or the monthly sales. The fresher the list, the better. The next thing I want to talk about is go through how to screen the over-the-counter list and perform research. And basically, I'm going to go over through some of the tools and things that you can use. You know, basically, you can get as creative as you want. I mean, some people are really good at doing research, something I really like to do. And, you know, you'll probably figure out your niche and how you do it. But there's, you know, some basic stuff that I think are good tools. First of all, Excel is very important, or a spreadsheet program. And that's because you want to do sorts. You want to say, okay, show me all the properties that cost this much and more, or show me all the properties that have taxes delinquent more than 5 years. So if you can get the list electronically and get them in a format that Excel or another spreadsheet program can handle, then you can do a lot with that. I mean, that right there is probably one of the most important research tools. If you don't have, if it's only in PDF format, if you can, retype it. If you can't, then you're going to have to do it by hand, but it's going to take longer. You know, typical screens would be, you know, available versus not available on some lists. How long has it been on a list? Properties that have been on a list for 20 years mean there's probably something wrong with them. You know, a lot of times they have a code from the area that the property's from. Maybe there's certain areas that you don't want to bid on, and so you can just screen those out. I always sort on price. Price is great. You sort by price, and then you figure out, you know, which liens or which deeds are the most expensive, which are the least, and a lot of times the middle is the best. The really unexpensive stuff is usually garbage. The really expensive stuff is too high risk, so the middle is a lot of times where I like to bid. Also, a lot of times they'll have a code for what kind of property it is. Is it residential, commercial, land, agriculture? You can screen by that. If you only want land, you can screen by that. If you only want residential, you can screen by that. We also like to do screens of the amount of taxes owed versus the market value. I talked about that. If the amount of taxes owed is way higher than what we think the market value is, then, you know, probably pass that one up, go to another one. And then also you want to check for unusual items. Sometimes counties will say environmental or environmental issues, or, you know, maybe there's a bankruptcy or there's an easement. You know, pay attention to those kind of things because they will definitely affect the value. Okay, the next thing is the Google Earth satellite information. If you have a property address from one of these lists, type it in Google. You should be able to see, in some cases, if there's enough resolution, what the neighbors are like, you know, and you'd be able to zoom in and zoom out. To do that, all you have to do is go to Google and download Google Earth. It's free, and that's a great tool for looking at properties. Finding property assessed values and market values, the county's assessor's website's the best, and you just type in the parcel number. Usually the county should have that online. If they don't, call them. They got to know what it's worth. They wouldn't know how to have taxed it. So they'll give you an assessment of what they think it's worth. Remembering, of course, the counties don't always know what properties are worth, but it's a good check to start out. I mean, if the taxes owed is, you know, $25,000 and the county says it's worth $3,000, that's probably a problem. But if it's the property is, you know, owes $25,000, but the county says it's worth $22,000. It's probably worth looking at. I mean, usually the county's correct on average in terms of the direction, whether the property is way too overvalued or undervalued, but they're usually not exactly right. So what you're trying to look for is where the county and the value are either, well, the value is much greater than the taxes owed, or they're more close to each other, but the other things about the property look good. Another thing you want to look at is the delinquency history of the property. Has the owner in the past paid taxes, then let it go, then paid, let it go? I mean, are they gaming the system? If they are, probably just forget that property. It means that as soon as you buy the over-the-counter property, if it's a lien, they're probably going to redeem it. Now, if it's a deed, that doesn't matter because it's a deed now. But people do game the system. Just be aware of that. Screen for liens, judgments, or bankruptcy. That's very easy. There's a thing, grantor-grantee index. And in most cases, counties now have these online. And if they don't, you can call them up. And basically, if you know the owner of the property or anyone who has ownership in the property, if you put their name in the grantor-grantee index, and this is usually under the recorder office's site on the website, it will show you any judgments against the property. It will show you taxes owed. It will show you whether it was a bankruptcy declared by the person owning the property. It will show you those things. It will show you if there's liens against the property. The grantor-grantee index is where this is at. And in most bigger counties now, it will be available online. In the very small ones, you may have to call, but they'll be able to look it up. Another thing, searching for environmental issues. All you have to do is go to www.epa.gov/enviro. Okay, and that is the area where you search either based on zip code or address for whether there's environmental problems around your property. In most cases, there won't be, but if you're looking at a commercial property or you're looking at agricultural land, you probably want to check these lists and see if there's anything around there that could impact the value of your property. So that gives kind of an example of the process that we use to screen properties. And it also gives an outline of the things to look for in screening properties, and then the states that we like in terms of the ones that are the best, in our opinion, right now for over-the-counter investing. So one more thing I want to go over is bidding tips and after the sale, and then I'm going to open up for questions. Okay, bidding tips. When you're buying over-the-counter properties, typically bid the minimum bid. In most cases, there are some states like Arkansas where when it gets onto the over-the-counter list, when you bid, you can bid more than the minimum bid, and then what will happen is it will be sent out that somebody bid on that, and everyone else will have about 30 days to bid, and if they don't, you win. It's been our experience that if you bid very much over the minimum in most places for over-the-counter, then other people figure it out, and they come in and bid against you. In a lot of cases, we bid the minimum, we win the bid. So unless you have a specific reason to bid more than the minimum, I wouldn't. I would bid the minimum that's required to acquire the property. And then also, I think it's a good idea to have several properties that you want to bid on, because sometimes these lists are not updated enough, and one of your properties may already have been bought. So don't fall in love with any one property. There's plenty of properties on these lists, and if there isn't enough properties on that list, then, you know, go to a different state or look at a different area. If you cannot physically visit the property, we always recommend that if it's a lien, your risk is a lot less. You just won't foreclose if you made a mistake, and you'll lose your investment, but you won't be liable for the property. If it's a deed, you are liable for what is ever at the property, on the property. So if you can, go visit the property. I mean, you're buying a piece of real estate, and you should know what you're buying. If you can't, call a realtor in the area and work out a deal. Say if you buy it, you'll list it with them or agree to a small fee. I mean, realtors are usually pretty flexible. We've had good luck with people just going out and looking at stuff for us if we would list things with them. So we recommend you try to look at the property, especially if it's a deed. If it's a lien and you're familiar with the area, you're probably okay. But again, I mean, it never hurts to look at the properties even as liens. Okay, another thing that I want to go over is what happens after the sale. Okay, you're going to buy this over-the-counter property. Now you've got it. What do you do with it? Well, keep track of your paperwork. If it's a lien, you're going to probably have to pay subsequent year's taxes. And the county might forget to tell you, and then it might be in a sale again. So it's up to you to keep track of this property. If the lien expires, and it hasn't been redeemed, start foreclosure. Foreclose on a property that's valuable as quickly as you can. Another thing is, and then let's talk about selling, selling deeds. The best thing to do is buy deeds at a discount so you can sell them wholesale. And we like to use bid for assets, or we use a newspaper, or sometimes we use realtors. And we've had pretty good luck with realtors, too, because usually we've bought the property for, 25% of what it's really worth, and then we can sell it for 75% of its worth, and then the next person still gets a good deal. So it's pretty important on deeds to get a good deal so you can sell it for a wholesale price so you can sell it quickly. And remember, the amount of people that will buy something that was purchased in a tax sale is smaller than the pool of all in all real estate investors. So if you have a property that you can sell at a discount, that's good, because then you have a better chance of selling it. We recommend you never pay market value for a deed. We always want a 50% discount, because if you have to come up with cash and you have to do this work on your own and you don't have a realtor to help you, then you better be paid for your risk. So that's what we recommend on liens. Just keep track of the liens. Do the research. Make sure that you know what you think the value of the property is. Make sure that it looks like, if you had to foreclose on it, it would be a good deal. And then also on liens, make sure you keep track of the paperwork. So if it doesn't get redeemed, then you can foreclose. And if it does get redeemed, you'll be ready to get your money back. Now, I'm going to send, after this conference call, I'm going to send out the information about the websites that I told you about. And one other place that you can go to, rogueinvestor.com/OTCcapitalizedupdates.html. And I'll send that out too. You don't have to write that down. But that has updates to over-counter lists that we go out and get. So that summarizes my talk, so I'm going to open it up for questions. Okay. I'll start with anyone that has the last name with A. Do you have any questions? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I have a question about New Jersey.
Is there anyone on who has questions?
I had a question, but I don't remember what it was now.
Okay.
All of this is going to come to us in an email, right? So that
yes.
And we can hear your voice again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Does anyone else have questions?
Yes.
Okay.
You said the middle price one is good, and what is the range?
Well, here would be an example. A typical sale will have liens that are maybe $50 or $100.
Uh-huh.
And then they may go up to $40,000, $50,000, $60,000.
Uh-huh.
Usually the best ones are between maybe $500, $700, and maybe $3,000 in that range. And that's where most of them will fall out. Stuff at the extremes tends to have something wrong with it.
Okay.
A question?
Yes?
First, buying them off the internet.
Can you repeat the question a little louder?
What's the advantage of buying it over the counter versus going to the courthouse and buying? Advantages, percentage-wise or bid-wise?
What's the time versus internet versus the courthouse? It's really more the difference is travel time. I mean, the research, once you're at the courthouse, the research is similar because a lot of their stuff's on their computers. It's more however long it takes you to get to the courthouse. That's the difference.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
When being changed to a deed, or when you foreclose on the lien, does it require traveling to the state?
No. You can do it. You can either have someone, you can hire an attorney to do it, or sometimes you could, like in Missouri, you can do it just through the mail.
Okay.
But sometimes it requires an attorney.
Okay.
But you don't have to go.
Okay. How much does it cost for an attorney?
Yeah, it varies. If it's a simple, if there isn't a lot of issues with the title, it could be as cheap as maybe $500 to $1,000.
Uh-huh.
If there's a lot of issues with the title, it could be, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. It just depends. But usually it's a lot less. You know, if you do your investing correctly on a lien and you're probably buying something that has an improvement on it, usually the amount that you pay the attorney is a fraction of what it's worth if you,
okay,
you know, if you do your research correctly.
Okay.
Other questions?
I have a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
In your experience, what are some of the main pitfalls you recommend to avoid?
Yeah, in my experience, the main pitfalls to avoid is lacking patience. Basically, you're going to need to look through quite a few liens and deeds on the over-the-counter market before you find good stuff. So that's a big one. And another one is not doing enough research. I mean, basically, these properties are sitting there, and there's no reason for you. You're not in a hurry. You're not going to an auction. There's no reason for you not to, you know, basically cross the T's and dot the I's. So as long as you have patience and you don't start rushing out and buying liens or deeds and you do the research, those are the two things that if you skip those steps, you're gonna be sorry, but if you do it, then you'll come out all right.
Like who? Who is in front of it?
Any other questions?
What's your expectation for on areas? Do you recommend focusing on one or two areas or diversifying or what?
I think it's best to focus on one or two areas, you know, like one or two states that you're good at. Learn their systems. I mean, I know all the states and everything, but I do this full-time all the time, and it even takes a lot of my time to do it. I think if you focus on a couple areas, that's the best strategy, especially at the beginning. Other questions?
Yes. Do you recommend, if we're in one state, do you recommend dealing with the states that you named that are the best?
There's stretching down there.
Can you repeat the question?
Do you recommend staying close to your home state? Like we're here in Georgia.
Yes.
And one of the states was for tax lien. You recommended one of the states was as Alabama.
Yes.
Do you recommend us staying kind of close to home if we find that that's a very good state?
Yes.
You have to travel there?
Yeah, because it lowers your travel costs and you know the general area better. Yeah, if you have a good state near where you live, then stick with that one. Other questions?
Yeah, I got a question about, Iowa's a good state. You didn't mention it in your top five, but it has a good high interest rate.
Which one?
Iowa.
Iowa doesn't have over-the-counter.
Oh, okay. That'll get
okay. Yeah, they don't have it.
Okay, thanks. I hope they do someday.
Huh?
I hope they do someday.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice. Other questions?
I got a question.
Okay.
When you... That part I wasn't a little concerned about as far as that can happen. That happens after if it's a 3-year redemption period. Are you buying into the tax lien later in the redemption period, or the redemption period starts when you buy the tax lien?
It starts after it was offered in the sale. So even if it wasn't bought in the sale, the clock starts.
Hey, when you buy it.
Yeah, so it's not when you buy it. It's when it was offered for sale.
Okay, great. That's good information. That.
Yeah, so that means a 3-year-old lien in Alabama is a deed, really. So. Yeah. Okay. Other questions? Okay. Thank you for attending, and I will send an email out with some of this more specific information regarding links and stuff, so you don't have to remember all that. And you're welcome to email us at otc@rogueinvestor.com. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
You could buy it at 2, or you could buy it at, you could even buy it at 4.